Revenge.
There we go. And good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hoops HD's Bracket Rundown, our Thursday evening podcast where we create a 1-68 seed list live or recorded, depending on when you're watching this. But we've created our 1-68 seed list, and we will go ahead and discuss every single team that we think belongs in, some teams we don't think belong in, as of around 9:30, 9:45 p.m. on Thursday evening when we're starting this. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. First of all, joining me, as always, David Griggs. David, how are you?
Okay, it's been an opposite of normal evening. Here we are coming into this thinking it was going to be nothing but chalk, and the reason we're getting started a little bit late is because so many things were happening that we needed to react to. So,
yes, some major upsets here tonight. Some of the smaller conferences, teams like North Florida and Chattanooga going down. Little Rock was struggling last time I looked at their score. And then among the big conferences, some major teams falling as well. Also joining us, John Slica, though. John, how are you?
I'm doing quite well, and unlike David Griggs, I only come as a single feature, not as a double feature.
Yeah, it's been doing funky things. Well, right now I'm just UAB has just won their game. I guess that means they're inside everyone's bubble.
Really? Because I've seen them going to double overtime on my screen, but I guess maybe we've got two different games going on here, David. But
really?
Yeah, I really think they're going double overtime. But
okay.
Anyhow, right, as we record, it's actually a little just before 10 p.m. Eastern. Some games have not gone final yet. We will not be addressing like the Oregon-Cal game, the Iowa-Indiana game. So we're really doing this exercise to show you where we think teams are as of right about now. It will change every time a game goes final, but we're just going to go ahead and build the 1-68 seed list and bracket that after the show, and you'll see the bracket right below us down there.
Down there.
Somewhere.
Yeah, down there. It's right down there.
Anyhow, what I want to do is start by pulling up the screen that we're going to be using so we can take a look at it, and it should be coming up on my screen any second now.
And This is good stuff. Oh,
drum roll, please. Oh, there we go. All right. As you can see, what we'll be doing is we'll be discussing everything probably through the end of the 12 line, the 13 through 16 lines. We'll be filling those in at the end of the show as well. But unless anyone else has any other comments, I think we should get right into this. And John, let me start with you. Who is the number one overall team in your opinion right now?
We're not talking Centenary right now, are we?
No, we're not talking Illinois-Chicago versus Prairie View versus Central Connecticut, no.
Okay, so we can go ahead and pencil in Oklahoma then.
Okay. John believes it's Oklahoma. David, do you agree?
I do, and I realize that they're coming off of a loss to a team that probably won't make the field, but it's the entire body of work, it's the entire season, and theirs is still the best. So, yeah, I have Oklahoma number.
Well, that's easy. The way we're going to be doing this, I didn't mention this, is that I'm kind of serving as the arbiter here. When the two of you don't agree, you'll pitch your cases for your teams, and I will make the final decision. But John, let's move on to the number two overall. Who is your number two overall team?
Number two overall, and they're looking a little shaky right now, and that's the Iowa Hawkeyes.
David, Iowa, and again, we're recording this before the Iowa-Indiana game is over, so. But as of right now, who is your number two overall?
I still have Iowa number two as well.
If you guys keep agreeing, this is going to get boring here.
Yes.
Now, we're doing the first four teams here in that order. We're going to go one seed line at a time once we get to the two line and below. But David, let me start with you here. Who would be number three overall right now?
I still have Villanova is number three overall. Again, they had the big win at Providence. They had the win over Xavier where they blew them out. They're only like two of their losses are away from home to Oklahoma and Virginia. No shame there. So I just really like how they're playing. I have them number two overall.
Number three overall.
Number three, yes.
Okay. John, would you agree with him?
So far, we are 3-for-3 tonight. So I would pencil in Villanova.
I actually would have had another team three overall, but since I'm just the arbiter here, yeah. I will go ahead and put Villanova in there. And David, let me go back to you for number four overall.
Number four overall is in. They're not looking too good right now, but I had Oregon at number four.
This was an Oregon team that about a month and a half ago, David, you didn't even want them in the tournament. I don't think you have definitely changed your tune on it on them.
Well, yeah, when they start beating good teams on the road. Now they're not beating a good team on the road at the moment.
Yes,
but overall, coming in prior to tonight, I thought they looked really good.
John, would you agree with him that Oregon is the fourth one seed?
I wouldn't agree with that, and I wouldn't agree that they should be on the two line either.
Oh, my. Okay, John, before you tell us who your team is, Oregon, right here, number one in the RPI overall, number one strength of schedule, 20-4. Can you tell us why you don't even think Oregon is even on the two line?
Well, not so much because of what Oregon has done, but because of what a few teams in the Big 12, the ACC, and the Big East have done, so that should tip my hand a little bit as to my top eight would be right now.
Okay, well, who is your fourth one seed? Let's start with that then.
My fourth number one would be out of the ACC, but it is not the number one team in the BPI, but the Virginia Cavaliers.
All right, David, your thoughts on Virginia as the one seed over Oregon?
I had Virginia on the two line. I really, really like how they're playing right now. I mean, they've been going on the road and not just winning, but winning big against good teams. I just think Oregon is a little bit better overall, like for their rankings, like what you just said. And the other thing is that it took Virginia a little while to get going. Although I think Virginia is playing like a one seed now, I don't think their overall body of work has it. You know, they have the losses to Virginia Tech and some other teams that aren't even going to be in the field. So to me, that was the difference as to why I had them a little bit lower.
Yeah, John, when I look at the two profiles, I guess I'm looking – I mean, you could argue that these two profiles are pretty close, a couple of top 50 road wins, each with one bad loss, either at Vatek or the UNLV loss for Oregon. But really, we know you don't like Oregon that much. So David, can you make a case why – Oregon is definitely better than Virginia?
I would just say, well, it's kind of hard to do it with the way they're playing now, but I would just say it's their road wins in conference. I mean, they've gone out and they've won on the road in places that are not easy to win.
At Utah and at Arizona, whereas yeah. Virginia's won at Louisville and at Pitt and has a neutral court win over West Virginia.
Yeah, but they have the losses to Virginia Tech and was it Georgia Tech that beat them?
On the other hand, you've got UNLV and Boise State losses on Oregon's side.
I'll give you three reasons why I would put Virginia on my number one line.
Okay.
If you look at my screen, I've got three teams that are bolded right now that the Cavaliers have beaten. One is West Virginia on the neutral floor, and they've also beaten Villanova and Miami. Oregon doesn't have a win against a protected seed yet.
Tell you what, David, I think that John has convinced me. I think we put in the Virginia Cavaliers line. I didn't think he would. I did not think he would, but he has sold me on them. I do like this Oregon team a lot as we go to the two line. But, John, you have four more teams still above Oregon. So let's hear what those four teams are, and then we'll make your case for them all being better than Oregon.
Okay, my next four teams would be Kansas, West Virginia, Xavier, and North Carolina.
All right, David, can you tell John why? Oh, John, let me stick with you, actually. John, why are they all better than Oregon?
Well, for similar reasons to what I'd already explained, Kansas has three wins so far against teams that are likely going to be protected seeds. That's Baylor, Oklahoma, and Texas. West Virginia has two such wins, which would include Kansas and at Iowa State. Xavier has one such win against Dayton, and North Carolina has one such win against Maryland.
David, do you want to counter that argument?
What were his three again?
His four teams: Kansas, Xavier, North Carolina, West Virginia. Not in that order necessarily, but those.
Yeah, North Carolina has not done a thing. They haven't really beaten anyone other than possibly Florida State. That looks like they're going to be in the field away from home. Virginia has. Kansas has. Oregon has, and Xavier has. I have North Carolina all the way down on the three line. You know, my next four at this point would be Oregon, Xavier, Kansas, and I have Texas way up here. And I realize they're coming off of a loss, but there is hardly any shame at all in the way that they played at Oklahoma. They have some really monster wins. They beat North Carolina, albeit at home, and you know they had the win at West Virginia earlier this year as well. So I have Texas all the way up on the two line.
All right, we're going with Texas up on the two line here. John, do you want to respond to this Texas?
You want to put a team with eight losses on the number two line?
Yeah. I mean, based on how they're playing, well, like hardly any of them, one of them wasn't even really that damaging at all. It was more impressive than it was damaging, their last one. And, you know, at Kansas, at Oklahoma, those aren't really damaging losses. At TCU is, but...
Well, I'll tell you what...
I think the case could be made that Texas could have eight losses and still be on the two line around March, but I don't think I can say that about the Longhorns in mid-February.
I'll tell you what, from what we've said here, John, while you sold me on Virginia over Oregon, you have not sold me that they're better than any of those other four teams you've listed. They are number five overall. You've both agreed on Kansas and Xavier to go the next two spots here on the two line. And the debate that we are left with at this point is North Carolina, West Virginia, who are both in your field, John, and Texas, who's in David's field. David, I'm having trouble saying that Texas needs to be above Carolina and West Virginia. I'm really having trouble saying that.
Well, I mean, there is the fact that they beat Carolina. I mean, there's that. Their road wins are a lot better than Carolina. There's that. You know, North Carolina hasn't really done much that's that impressive.
But Texas has the bad loss. The bad loss at TCU has a lot more, has eight losses versus Carolina's four.
Well, yeah, that happens when you play better teams.
Well, what about West Virginia then?
I have them real close. Like, I have them next in line. I have West Virginia really close here. So I like them as well.
John, did you have West Virginia higher or North Carolina higher?
I had West Virginia as my number six overall and North Carolina as my number eight overall.
I think we're going West Virginia here because I don't like the Texas argument. I understand the North Carolina argument, though, but you can't really top the West Virginia argument, David. Yeah. Bobby Huggins on the two line. Congrats to Press Virginia. And David, let me turn to you now. We know you like Texas here. Give me three more teams to join them.
North Carolina, and I'm so glad that Michigan State, and I'm so glad that Maryland is not making an appearance any higher than this. I had them as my number 12 overall.
Okay, North Carolina, Texas, North Carolina, Michigan State, Maryland. John,
yeah.
I know you like North Carolina. Give me three other teams with them.
I can agree on two of the teams that David mentioned. It would be Michigan State and Maryland in that order, but then I would add the Miami Hurricanes as my fourth number three seed.
I have Miami. I mean, they're my last protected seed, and I didn't even think you would have them that high.
Well, we gotta start with the consensus picks here, so we're gonna go in this order here: North Carolina, Michigan State, and Maryland starting off the three line. And the debate that's left here is this Texas again debate, as they've continued to fall, David, on you, versus Miami. John, why Miami over Texas?
I guess if we're comparing Miami and Texas, I would probably give the Hurricanes some credit for beating more teams that I would have in the NCAA field. Texas, while they have a very good quality wins, they have five such wins at the moment. Miami, they have eight. And if we also look at Miami's road record, they're going to be 7-3 versus Texas 4-7.
Well, wait a second. I only see four road wins for Miami, and the only top 100 one being at Georgia Tech.
Yeah. I mean, on the road, they're not even close. Texas is a lot better, and you want to talk about head-scratching losses. I mean, they got blown out at NC State. They lost at home to Northeastern.
I'm talking Roden neutral, so don't forget their Puerto Rico tournament.
Right, yeah, they did look good in Puerto Rico, but they beat a decent Utah team and a decent Butler team. But, again, like Texas, I mean, you talk about having 8 losses, but 2 of those were at Kansas and at Oklahoma, who aren't even going to lose at home all year. So I don't think you can really even count those by compare. Like, those are 2 losses that are better than any game that Miami has been able to win or will win. So I don't really think you can even count those.
Yeah, and when you look at Texas's profile, you've got 4 top 25 wins. When you look over at Miami's, you've got the Utah win and Duke at home. I'm just looking at these, winning at West Virginia, winning at Baylor, beating Iowa State and Carolina at home. Quite frankly, I'm on David's side here, and I'm putting Texas in as the last 3 seed.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that too vehemently because of the quality of their wins, but just their 8 total losses have given me pause at this point to put them that high.
And you convinced me getting them off the 2 line, John. You're not going to convince me below the 3 line.
Well, they really should be up on the 2. I mean, that's just the thing about these shows. It's the 2 of you being wrong whenever you disagree with me.
Well, John, how it goes. John, I know you like Miami on the 4 line. Give me 3 other teams to join them.
Okay, besides the U, this is where I would add Dayton, Purdue, and Iowa State.
Dayton, Purdue, and Iowa State. David, you gave a little ooh there, so why don't you respond to that?
Well, because of Dayton, I thought that I had them at least a line higher than John would, but I had them right up here. My teams were Baylor, Dayton, Iowa State, and Miami in that order.
Okay, Baylor, Dayton, Iowa State, and Miami.
Yeah.
So Baylor is the one team that you like, whereas John liked Purdue.
Yeah. My hang-up on Purdue is they have a lot of good wins, but no really great wins. And I know they just picked up a big home win. But, you know, when you look at Baylor, Baylor's wins have come on the road, whereas Purdue's they don't have as many, and they don't have as many on the road. And that's kind of my hang-up on them. But they did – I mean, I realize they just beat Michigan State. But I think that's their best – I think that's the best thing they got on there. Whereas Baylor went to Iowa State and won, and you know they won at some other places too. It's hard for me to pull up my notes here.
well, John, tell us why you like Purdue over Baylor.
Oh, the reason I like Purdue is not just because they've also beaten Michigan State, but they also beat Michigan, they beat Florida on a neutral floor, and they've also won at Pittsburgh during the Big Ten ACC Challenge. The Iowa State game is Baylor's
only real win
of note, though, because once you go below Iowa State, Baylor's next 5 best wins are Vanderbilt, at Texas Tech, Kansas State, Georgia, and at Kansas State.
I'm going to move Purdue up a little bit, but not all the way up here.
Do you want to retract your Baylor pick, David?
No.
Okay, well, you lose then, and Purdue gets...
No!
I do agree with John. I think Purdue's quality of wins does outrank Baylor's for me right now. A couple teams Iowa State has had a few strange losses. I think that counts as one of them. And when your only other top 50 losses at a Texas Tech team that does not deserve to be in the top 50... I gotta go with John on this one.
Again, I don't know what you get out of being wrong all the time, but I mean.
Well, David, I guess I'm going to start with you this time around as we move to the 5 seed. By the way, Miami, Dayton, Iowa State, the other 3. I agree with the fact that Dayton is up there in the 4 line. They may have even been made in the 3 line, in my opinion, but we got them there solidly on the 4.
Yeah, and again, real impressive showing for Dayton yesterday against Duquesne, so or whatever that was.
They won the game, didn't they?
They did.
Okay.
And boy, did they look good. you know,
just like they beat Miami.
Dynamite picks here.
Just like they beat Miami of Ohio. They won the game, though. That's
yes.
Here's a quick rule of thumb about Dayton. They're only going to lose a buzzer beater if either GW or Rhode Island is involved.
Yeah. I like Dayton's profile. I like their team. They actually – oh well, after what happened tonight, maybe that maybe they just – I don't know. Maybe it's something in the water these past couple 24 hours. Anyway.
All right. Well – David, let's go on to the five light. We know you like Baylor. Give me three.
Okay. Before we do that, Chad, just a quick, we might have some people watching for the first time. These are all our protected seeds. Can you just tell us real quick what a protected seed is?
Yes, a protected seed is one of the first 16 teams. But a protected seed is under the NCAA bracketing rules, any team on the top four seed lines should not be matched up against a team that would have a home court advantage over it. So, for example, one of the sites this year would be out in Spokane. If Washington State was in the field as a 13 seed, Miami would not be playing at Washington State. We play in Washington State in a 4-13 game in Spokane. It would not happen.
Right.
Basically what they mean to be a 16 seed. Also, when you come down to the pods that the NCAA Selection Committee creates, each pod is based around one of these 16 teams.
Right. So, again, they would be the top four seeds. The other thing about it is, and it isn't always true with the four line, but there's a really good chance you're playing a team in the round of 64 that's not inside the bubble. I mean, it has happened, especially with the four line, but it's a more winnable round of 64 game.
Right. And as you'll see as we go through this, we're probably not going to be projecting any at-large bids on the 13 line. So all these teams will be playing automatic qualifiers. Almost maybe Iowa State or Purdue if something strange happens at the very bottom there. Let's go on to the five line, though. David, joining Baylor, give me three other teams.
It starts to go south here. Utah is who I had next. Schizophrenic Providence. And with their big road win that isn't looking quite so big considering how weak A&M's been, I had South Carolina all the way up here.
South Carolina, Baylor, Utah. John, give me four teams. We've put all your teams in so far.
I can assure you we're not going to have any agreement on this line, so just a little bit of fair warning here.
Just go ahead and put my teams in, Chen.
This is where I'm going to add USC, Arizona, Notre Dame, and Texas A&M.
Okay. USC, Arizona, Notre Dame, and A&M. Well, I will tell you both this, actually. I have my own seed list, and you both of you nailed my next eight teams combined. But you came with four of them, and the other one came up with the other four. So.
John, this is the five line. You just read off my six line.
Let's go through them each year. John, let me start with you. Notre Dame, why do you like them this high?
Notre Dame, I like them because they have three wins so far against the protected seeds, including Iowa, North Carolina, and Clemson. Let's not forget they also have the win at Duke, and some of their other decent wins would include Stony Brook, Georgia Tech, and Virginia Tech.
David, why not Notre Dame?
They do have some of those big wins, but none of them really came in true road games. I think, and again, we talked about Baylor. Utah has some big wins. Providence, real schizophrenic, but they have clearly out of this group of eight the best singular win, and they've got some other good wins too. So to me, it's just that. Where while I agree that they have the wins over protected seeds, they didn't come in true road games, whereas Providence's did. Baylor's did.
David, I mentioned a four-letter word earlier that begins with the letter D. Being considered a true road win for Notre Dame?
Well, he said true road wins against protected seeds. And Duke is not a protected seed. They do have the true road win, but what they have is they have multiple wins against protected seeds, and one of them being a neutral court win over Iowa, who is not only a protected seed, is number two on this list, David.
Yes, and who's currently beating the best team in the Big Ten, according to Dan Dockett.
We're not considering this Iowa-Indiana score at the moment.
Right. Well, I was just throwing that out there.
As you can see, the reason why I wanted to bring up Notre Dame is because I do like this Notre Dame profile up here. But, David, of John's other three teams, Arizona, USC, A&M, do you want to make a case as to why any or all those three are not even close to this five line?
A&M, again, it's just how they've looked lately. It's the four out of the five losses. It's road losses at Arizona State, who isn't bad, but it isn't, you know, isn't really good either. And to me, it just comes down really to road performance. A&M is going in the wrong direction. I like USC. All these teams are on my next line, by the way. So it's not that I don't like them or think that it's way out of left field, but I just don't think that they've lifted enough weight away from home.
Well, John, let me turn to you then. His teams are Utah, South Carolina, Baylor, and Providence. Is there a team there that you think that group is completely off base and shouldn't even be close to this discussion?
If we're talking about cold teams, I'd probably say that Providence is going in the wrong direction. But I could make a case, if I really wanted to, about Baylor or South Carolina or even Utah. But I would also say that of one of the teams I mentioned earlier, Arizona is another team that's battled through some injuries, got healthy, and got a key win at Washington over the weekend.
Yeah, I like Notre Dame is my highest six seed. I like them more than the other teams. So
let's go this way here, David. Who are your top two teams on the five line instead of all four?
Baylor and Utah.
Baylor and Utah. And John, who are your two top teams?
USC and Arizona.
Well, we're going to do here in order to get some teams in. We're going to go with Baylor, USC, Utah, Arizona. Kind of making this into a Pac-12 line, but I took both of your top two teams in this group.
Right.
Notre Dame, who we had a lot of discussion on, I think starts out the sixth line as well.
So who are your teams, John?
I would have gone Notre Dame, Utah, Arizona, South Carolina, actually.
So
at this point, John, the only team you've mentioned that hasn't made it in is A&M. David, you've mentioned both Providence and South Carolina who have not made it in, if I'm correct here, if I didn't mess things up.
Yeah, I'm trying not to mess things up myself.
Okay, well, David, give me two teams to go with Providence and South Carolina now that we have put Utah, Baylor, and Notre Dame in as along with Arizona.
And Notre Dame and USC are in?
Yeah. Okay. I guess I went a little quick there. I apologize.
Yeah. So we've got Providence, South Carolina. A&M is who I had next, and then I had Colorado.
You have gone A&M and then Colorado.
Providence, South Carolina, A&M would have been my next.
Okay, thing. Providence, South Carolina, A&M. John, I know you like A&M, but give me two more teams to join A&M.
Besides A&M, I'm probably going to hate myself for saying this. This is where I would go Duke and Angry Frank's team.
Duke. Right,
Yeah. Okay, so you both agree on Texas A&M here. You both agree on Duke here. South Carolina here. On Angry Frank in South Carolina here. And so the question has now become Providence versus Duke. And John, you're gonna have to tell me on why Duke is. Tell me
is
why
this
Duke
even
is
a question?
Come on. Because I'm kind of in the Dave. I'm really on David's side here. David does not have to make the argument here. But tell me why Duke is better than Providence.
Again, I'm not going to be the popular guy for saying this, but I do think we have to consider the Emile Jefferson injury and what it's meant to Duke for some of their losses that they've sustained without him. But some of their decent wins do include Indiana, Louisville, and VCU, although they're looking much more shaky. And I would also include Yale as far as another team that may make the tournament.
David, can you remind us who Providence beat again?
They won at Villanova.
Okay. Providence.
They won at Villanova, but they got swept by Marquette, and then they also lost at DePaul, so that's going to offset some of that a bit.
It's tough for me to say you offset winning at Villanova with even the loss at DePaul. You're probably going to have to lose multiple sub-200 teams to offset the win at Villanova, in my opinion. That's I don't want to speak for you, David, but I may have just done that.
Relative to the six line, absolutely. Relative to the two or three line, which is where we used to have this team before they started losing to DePaul and Marquette. No.
All right. Well, let's go over to the 7 line here. John, I know you do like Duke. Why don't you give me 3 more teams to go with them?
You're going to want to retract that where I said I like Duke. I'm just saying I respect Duke enough to put them up there.
Okay.
But beyond that point, I would add Pittsburgh, Kentucky, and Syracuse.
Syracuse.
David, I know you liked Colorado.
Yes.
Syracuse, a nice home win tonight over Florida State that we are taking into consideration here.
Yeah.
But why don't you give me 3 more teams to go with Colorado?
Well, I had Pitt, Wichita, and again, I realized that their paper's a little bit weak. But again, you know, they just have 2 losses at full strength, so I think this is about where they belong, and I agreed with Kentucky.
Well, then we've got Pitt and Kentucky are 2 consensus picks here, and they will be the first 2 teams to start off our 7 line. We're down to John liking Duke and Syracuse, David liking Colorado and Wichita State. And David, even with the loss at Illinois State, you still think Wichita State, without any really great wins at the top of the profile, is a 7 seed, other than the Utah home game?
Yeah. Well, again, what they've done at full strength, I think it kind of indicates that they're in the rankings. I know that isn't hugely important, but part of me, it's just I see more and more warts with the teams below them. It isn't so much I like them here as that I don't like anybody else up here.
John, do you want to respond to about Wichita State and also about Colorado?
Here's the main problem I have for Colorado. Their only real notable win is at home against Oregon. Their next 6 wins that could be considered decent would be Colorado State, BYU, a sweep over Stanford, Oregon State, and California. I would not expect David to put much stock in the California win simply because they've been a very bad road team.
Yes.
Wichita State I would have a little bit lower, but again, I get a little bit of pause because of their loss to Illinois State.
David, how about this Colorado team? You want to make your case there?
I agree with John that there isn't a whole lot of really good things on their profile, but there isn't much that's bad either. You know, they've basically won the games they're supposed to win, and when I look at them, there isn't really anything on here that has me holding my nose too much. Whereas, you know, with some of the other teams, that's not so much the case.
Well, David, you sort of lost in these arguments here. I like your arguments on Colorado and Wichita State. I think they belong right here. But we're going to go with John's Duke and Syracuse team to complete the 7 line. Colorado and Wichita State starting off the 8 line. But, John, you want to give me 2 more teams to finish out the 8?
Syracuse all the way up here?
I honestly, David, that's the exact spot at 28 that I would have had Syracuse as well.
Okay, all the more reason to think they don't belong up
there. They have a lot of quality wins at this point. And let me step in and make the Syracuse case as I give me half a second to pull up their profile. But they are now 17-8 overall, 7-5 in the ACC. They have now won neutral court wins over UConn and Texas A&M, a win at Duke, home wins over Notre Dame and Florida State, a home win over a St. Bonaventure team that may at least be under consideration, and really only one horribly bad loss, and that's the loss at St. John's.
Yes, December 13th, they lost at St. John's.
Yes.
That's a kick. You got to move them down.
And Providence lost at DePaul, your point?
Well, I mean, they didn't lose at St. John's.
John,
you did win at Villanova.
John. Well, thanks to our mock selection committee chairman, Joe Castiglione, they're going to be taking the Jim Boeheim coaching suspension into consideration. Now, exactly what that means remains open to interpretation.
Yes, I considered that.
Okay. David, sorry, John, let me go back to you. Colorado, Wichita State, start our 8 line. Give me your 2 teams below them.
Well, one of the teams had a nice significant road win a couple nights ago, and that's Butler. And then the other team I would include would be the team they just beat in Seton Hall.
John going Big East here on the 8 line. David, where would you go with your next two teams?
Seton Hall, and it's kind of hard to this is another team that's kind of schizophrenic. I had Seton Hall and Florida State.
Let's discuss this Florida State team. You do both agree on Seton Hall. It's going to be Butler versus Florida State for the last spot. I was watching the game tonight, Florida State and Syracuse, and I think they were talking about Joe Lenardi's picks, who's saying that they're in the first four. They're barely in the field right now. And I look at their profile. I like this profile, even with the loss tonight. I mean, like it as a 7-8-9 seed type of profile, not like it as a protected seed type of profile. But where's the bad of this profile that I'm missing?
Yeah, I mean, it's not there.
Okay.
You're right about this. Now, they did lose tonight, but prior to that, they had won 3.5 games coming into this. I'm not giving them full credit for Boston College. But, the win at Florida carries a lot of weight for me. I thought that was really good, especially when compared to what some of the other teams have done around here. And I realized, like, to John's point, Butler just did beat a really good a Seton Hall team that's really hard to beat on the road. And I didn't have Butler on this line. I had them a little bit lower because overall they just haven't impressed me. But I could make a case for Butler up here if I really had to, but I don't know. I just kind of like Florida State a little more. There's no bad on their profile.
Now, Butler is back up to 500 in Big East play, yeah, which also played in my decision to put them back on the 8 line, at least into first ballot territory.
Yeah.
And John, let me just address this briefly here, this Florida State team. I mean, Florida State does have 3 top 50 wins, including a neutral court win over VCU, who is kind of falling at the moment, but we'll get to them in a little bit, I think. And then a huge home win over Virginia, who made our 1 line. So even though it's a home win that David doesn't give much credit to, it's still way better than any win, not even way, way better than any win that Butler has. And that's why when you look at their bad, it's pretty similar. And you look at the good, I just think it's a lot better on Florida State's side. But do you want to tell me if I'm wrong there?
The Virginia win is good, but I also give Butler credit for beating Purdue on a neutral floor. I know it's in Indianapolis, but there had to be just as many Purdue fans in the building that day as there were Butler fans.
I think that was a neutral floor. It was split right down the middle. If anything, Purdue outnumbered them a little bit. What am I saying? John, you're wrong. Florida State belongs on. Oh, Florida State's on this.
Yeah, Florida State just made the last team there. And
you must be really valuing those wins over NC State, aren't you?
Absolutely.
I'm valuing 3 top 50 wins, including beating a 1 seed, as being better than one a road, a neutral, a home top 50 win over 1 neutral top 50 win.
I would also value wins that Butler has against Temple and Cincinnati, even though they're kind of on the fringe, but still
let me make one last point. 8 seeds play 9 seeds in the first round. There's not much difference between 32 and 33 overall when it comes down to it.
Oh,
Butler just got in the field because you convinced me enough about them.
You have to pack differently. You have to wear dark uniforms.
I think that, John, we're actually up to you next to complete the 9 line along with Butler. So give me 3 more teams.
Okay, my next 3 teams would be Monmouth, Florida, and Indiana.
Monmouth, Florida, and Indiana, who has now fallen behind Iowa last time I checked in the game that's going on right now. David, you went, so that obviously means something.
Yes, I do not agree with that order at all. I have Florida, Indiana, and Monmouth.
Okay. Yeah. Florida, Monmouth, Indiana, because I'm going to flip those 2 teams on you guys just because I feel like it.
As the arbiter.
As the arbiter.
That night line was nice. You had Florida. And again, Chad, we need to stop just for a second here. I'm a little surprised you had Monmouth in on the first ballot. Which leads me to a great segue. Chad, what is the first ballot?
Yeah, I'm actually going to pull down the screen here and do a little reboot of this screen as well. So while we discuss first ballots, it's actually what we call the initial ballot. The first ballot technically is a ballot where they see what teams are in, and that generally ends up being about the first 25 teams or so. But at the first night of the committee, the actual committee meets, before the first night, they actually have a vote, a paper vote, where anybody, at least 8 out of the 10 committee members agree a team is in already, they make it in. That generally fills up about 25 spots. They will then, on the first night, fill up to 36 spots, which is the number of at-large bids. That is what we basically call, at least an initial ballot team, top 36 teams. They will be there. They will be in at that point. As championship week continues and automatic bids are won, generally you're looking at between 7 to 12 spots will open up during the course of championship week.
Right.
At which point in time, 7 to 12 more teams will get added into the field. And that's exactly what we're going to be going to here in a moment.
So in a nutshell,
when you do the – go ahead, David.
I was going to say, in a nutshell, there's 36 at-large bids, and it's a 68-team tournament, so there's 32 automatic bids. Anyone that is not in yet cannot get in until one of these 36 teams wins an automatic bid.
Right. Now, yes. By the time the committee does start meeting, though, there will be a few conferences that have gone final, including like the Missouri Valley and the Metro Atlantic. So they actually might be a few more spots if Monmouth and Wichita State, for example, that we just put both those teams in, have already won a spot. But more or less, the top 36 are what we call the initial ballot teams.
Right.
And I was just going to add the point that you can vote up to 36 teams on your initial ballot, but you'll probably see about 25 or 26 of them make it in the first round of voting.
I also want to give a score update before we go on to our 10 line, and David, you're going to start off our 10 line, but you may want to consider this. Maybe we can make a quick adjustment for this on the fly here. Arkansas Little Rock just lost at Louisiana Monroe. That game has gone final. Rough loss for the Trojans, who we've been very high on, and I thought we might be seeing in the next line or two here. So just something that they may drop a little bit, so the two of you could take a quick look at that as we go ahead. But David, give me your four teams for the TED line.
Okay. First is a team that got a big win on the road last night, easily their biggest of the year, looked really impressive. I had the St. Joseph's Hawks up here. Next is a team that I actually had a little bit higher before tonight, and then they lost just a horrible game. I had VCU on this line, and then Michigan was next, and then a weak paper team, but a team that I think is really good. They had a nice win at Oregon State. Oregon failed to win there. They also went to Oregon, played really well. They've basically taken care of business in all their games. They have a few toe stubs, but they're blowing through the conference. I had Valpo. It's number 40 overall.
All right. John, why don't you give me your four teams before we start talking about whether or not Valpo belongs this high?
Yeah, before that score update, I would have had Arkansas Little Rock on the 10 line, but I'm going to have to dock them at least a seed line for that loss. So that being said, I would go with Michigan, VCU, St. Joe's, and now St. Mary's.
Oh. Okay, so let's start with the first three that you both of you agree with, which is VCU, Michigan, and St. Joe's. St. Joe's, very nice win over GW last night too. That really helps them a lot. And we're left with a Valpo versus St. Mary's. Now, John, I think you're assuming St. Mary's is the automatic bid qualifier, but you're also saying that you believe that they would be in even if they didn't get the automatic bid at this point. Is that correct?
I have St. Mary's as my auto bid winner and Gonzaga at large right now in my seed list.
David, do you want to address St. Mary's? Because I think John found one of the few teams that I may actually have to side with you on the Valpo argument over, but go ahead.
St. Mary's just doesn't belong in. They, hold on a second, I'm trying to get, okay. There we are. Okay, yeah, I'm back. Okay, yeah, St. Mary's, well, I mean, they just haven't done anything other than beat non-tournament teams at home. And even the teams that they have beaten at home that are decent haven't been strong on the road. When they've gone on the road, they've either lost or they've had to sweat out really bad teams. I don't understand what it is that impresses anyone about St. Mary's. They lost at BYU, who's not a tournament team. They really haven't done anything. What's good about them?
John, he asked you, what's good about them?
I would say for the same reason we had Arkansas Little Rock as high. I mean, they both had a high volume of wins and had, for the most part, avoided bad losses. I mean, St. Mary's best win would be against UC Irvine, but they do have wins against BYU and Gonzaga and also Stanford, so at least their top spot in the West Coast Conference is justified at the moment.
I think Little Rock's win over San Diego State at San Diego State is a lot better than anything St. Mary's has done. They may not be better than some of the teams St. Mary's has beaten, but they are – I mean, St. Mary's hasn't beaten anyone like that on the road.
But the problem here is Arkansas Little Rock now has two pretty bad losses with Arkansas State and now Louisiana Monroe. Pepperdine is the worst loss that St. Mary's has, but I think they're still in fourth place in the West Coast Conference, so it's not that terrible, but still going to be a bad loss per the NCAA metrics.
I don't even have St. Mary's in my field. I had them behind Gonzaga.
Let me throw this over here. First of all, let me briefly mention Little Rock. Yes, they now have two bad losses. They do have two top 50 wins on the road now that Tulsa has moved up to number 50 in the RPI. I think that they had room for that loss. I don't think they have room for another loss, which means that anything short of losing to Arlington maybe in the Sun Belt Finals is going to require
them to go to automatic bid. You say Valpo's profile doesn't have anything on it. It's got more than St. Mary's does.
Well, because I'm being forced to decide between Valpo and St. Mary's, I am deciding Valpo, David. You've won this argument.
You were dangerously close to kicking me out of the chat room when you told me that Tulsa is now a top 50 RPI win.
We'll get to Tulsa in a bit here and at least mention them, I think, at some point before we're done. But John, I believe that you're up now for the next four teams. We know you like St. Mary's. Why don't you give me three more to go with them?
Along with St. Mary's, I'm still going to include Arkansas Little Rock for the time being. Right. But this is where I would add Gonzaga, and then I would also add Clemson.
Clemson. Sorry, David. While I search for Clemson on my list of way off of teams that aren't even close to making the field, can you give me your four teams?
Yeah, I had Little Rock after the loss. I guess the reason I didn't move them down is because UConn also lost. I had Washington, and then I got one here that I'm ready to argue for this team, and I have Akron the Zips all the way up here.
Okay, so you have UConn here also. Is that the second team?
Yeah, UConn, Little Rock, Washington, and Akron.
Let's start with the team that you both agree with, which is Little Rock. They go in. Now, David, you're arguing UConn, Washington, Akron. Amazingly, you have Washington higher than John does, and John's been on the Washington bandwagon all season. John's going St. Mary's, Clemson, and the Zags. Let's start with that Akron pick. David, can you justify Akron being inside the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, again, they're 19-4 overall. It's more of an eye test thing. I really think that they're blowing through there. They won at Ball State, who is really tough to beat at home. Valpo didn't win there. They went to Ohio and won. That's another, again, not a tournament team, but a team that's played really well at home. I just really like how they've been playing. As far as wins against the field, there really aren't any. But this is the thing. They won at Arkansas, a home court hero. And then recently they've won at Ball State and at Ohio, also home court heroes. They're 19-4 overall. There really aren't that many bad losses. I know they have a couple sub-100 losses, but overall I just really like them. And I don't know how to say this. As weak as their paper is, I like them better than George Washington, Gonzaga, Chattanooga, Cincinnati, Whiskey, LSU. I just think they would beat those teams on a neutral floor if they were to play.
Akron has, I think, three sub-1 losses, 100 losses by my count. That would be Green Bay, Central Michigan, and Toledo. but unlike Monmouth, wins against Arkansas and Iona aren't going to be enough to offset that, so I can't agree with putting the Zips as a team above the first four or above the cut line right now.
John, I'd like you to actually make the Clemson argument because you're going to win the Akron argument, but I'd like you to make the Clemson argument why you have them here. That's the team I'd really like. Right now, that's the team that you're going to have to sell me on, I'll put it that way.
I know they're getting closer to the first four, but they're also going to be a team that's going to be pretty close to that range simply because they have two bad losses, two iffy losses, but they also have six pretty good wins, including a win at home against Miami, who's a protected seed, a win at Syracuse, which is looking better and better by the day.
David, do you want to address this Clemson team, which is just by my count right now, with a gaudy record of 7-3 against teams outside the RPI 100. Pretty bad.
They have notable wins at home. And I would have been much more in favor of Clemson had they picked up some of their road wins against non-tournament teams. I just think that is a gaping hole. I know it's hard to win on the road. That's why I give teams so much credit when they're able to do it. But if you're a tournament team, you've got to beat Virginia Tech. You've got to beat the sub-NIT teams, and they've really struggled to do that. That's my hang-up on them. And they do have some really, big, just bad losses. The loss to Minnesota really looks bad.
The decision is in, and Connecticut, Gonzaga, Washington are the three teams to conclude the 11 line.
You left out my team.
I did leave out Akron. I left them out on purpose. You did not convince me with zero top 50 wins and zero wins against the field that they belong in.
But they won at Ohio. They won. I mean, they've won.
David, I know you like Akron. Why don't we go with the next? Let's go with one with the next four teams here. Actually, the first four teams on the 12 line. This will include some of our first four, but not all of them. Akron, give me three more to go with them.
GW, I liked their win at VCU. It completely changed the complexion of their profile in my mind. Chattanooga and Cincinnati are the next ones that I have here. And how many? Oh, we got five bids remaining.
We have five bids remaining, and obviously a team like Chattanooga or Akron, if they make it in, would not take up one of those at-large bids. Okay. John, why don't you give me two more teams? I know you like St. Mary's and Clemson. Give me two more below them.
Well, I'm also going to give you a footnote. I don't like Chattanooga after their loss at Western Carolina tonight, so I would also have to put them along with San Diego State and Akron below the first four now. So that being said, I've already mentioned St. Mary's and Clemson.
Yep.
This is where I'm going to add Temple and Louisiana State. I would also make the distinction that I would have Temple as my auto bid winner out of the American now because they have the conference lead.
Okay. Well, we've already put Connecticut in, so for the purposes of this bracket, UConn being the highest ranked team in it is the presumed auto bid winner. So Temple doesn't necessarily have to go in the way that we bracket these. But David, what about Temple and what about LSU, especially with Temple having that huge win tonight over UConn? Now,
I have LSU close. The last team I mentioned was Cincinnati. I have Wisconsin after them, and then LSU right behind that. So, I mean, they're within.
Okay, there we go. LSU is in. Good job. How about Temple?
But I don't like them as much as Akron. So you need to change that.
Okay. I want you to address Temple, David.
They had a nice win tonight. I just don't have them there yet. They're in first place. They have some nice wins at home. They did win. But I just don't think that they've done enough. And they don't really look as good. If they knock off Villanova later on, I think they shoot up into the field.
John, do you want to address Cincinnati?
I'm going to address Temple before I address Cincinnati. Okay. I mean, if you look at what Temple has done, they have now swept Connecticut, they have now swept Cincinnati, and they have also beaten SMU. If you want to go to Cincinnati, their three best wins are going to be UConn, VCU, and and George Washington. Their next two wins that would be of note, Houston and Memphis, which are not going to be in the field.
Those are not wins of note, John. But David, why would you have Cincinnati over Temple then? Does he make a pretty good argument there?
He does. I just think the bad loss at East Carolina really kind of had me holding my nose. I was really on board with them until that happened. Now, again, it is their only hiccup really in the last month or so. You know, losing at Memphis by two isn't bad in and of itself. It would have helped them out had they done it. I like how they've been playing, but again, that's a pretty bad loss at East Carolina.
Well, you know who I forgot to mention for Temple? Tulsa.
Tulsa. 50.
We are going to go Temple and Cincinnati to start our first four. Obviously, there's going to be a few bracketing change there because the two teams will not actually play in Dayton. They would have to be split up into the two separate games. But, John, I know you've liked Clemson and St. Mary's. They still haven't made this field. But why don't you give me your next two teams so hopefully we can fill out the last two at-large bid spots here.
If I have to go beyond those two teams, it would be Oregon State and Wisconsin.
And Oregon State, a team we haven't mentioned yet. David, I know you like a couple auto bid teams here in Chattanooga and Akron. Along with, you did like mention GW, who we haven't put in yet either. But why don't you give me your next two teams below those?
Wisconsin and even after the loss tonight, I had William and Mary just ahead of Oregon State.
Okay, well, let's go. Given that William and Mary would be our first Colonial team, give me one more team below that because they wouldn't.
Okay, the teams, I'm kind of losing track.
I understand you put William and Mary next here.
This is the order. It is Akron, and I realize that they're auto, George Washington, Chattanooga, Whiskey, Bill and Mary, Oregon State.
Okay. You both have had Oregon State in so far, but before I give that final spot to them 100%, let me just turn to David. Let me make this. I mean, the team that's not getting it, that looks like they're not getting in here for you, David, as an at-large qualifier would be GW, and for John it would be St. Mary's and Clemson that don't look like they're getting in at the moment. But David, we haven't really talked to GW. Why would you have them in?
The win at VCU, and again, they had that win. They have the home win over Virginia, who's up on the one line. They do have some really, really crappy things on their profile, but I just thought, and God, they looked bad earlier this week, but I thought the win at VCU kind of set them apart from everyone else we're talking about right now.
The win at VCU was nice for GW, but they did not follow it up very good against St. Joe's, so that's why I can't agree with GW being an NCAA tournament team right now.
St. Joe's is good, though.
St. Joe's is good, but that's a game that GW really has to win at this point to get in the field. No one said it was supposed to be easy.
Oregon State, they trip referees.
Oregon State has got our first four are Temple, Cincinnati, Wisconsin, Oregon State, St. Mary's, GW, Clemson, all making the list of teams that just missed the field there. I'm not putting Akron, Chattanooga, or Bill and Mary in there because those are teams that are probably going to show up lower down in the bracket as auto bid winners. Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to list William and Mary here as a top team out that we have discussed, and I'll show you why in a second. But
I would just like to point out, again, you're wrong. Akron, from 11 down, Akron would beat just about all of those teams. So
I want to bring up the two teams that have not made, that neither of you mentioned here, that I would have actually had in the field. The first would be California. I know they don't have the road wins, but when you're looking at the first four, everybody has problems, and I think that they've got enough good to put them over there, especially if they get this win tonight.
They're going to get a 20-plus point win against Oregon, so they do have that in their back pocket. I'd like to see at least one road win against Cal for me to put them in the field.
A couple of teams that I considered that would not have made my field would have been also UCLA and even Alabama, who's starting to move up in the SEC standings.
I agree with you on Alabama because they are now one game under 500 in the SEC. So if they can get to 500 like Butler did, they'll be in better shape.
I had a team. I had it, like my next one right behind Oregon State was Tulsa. I had Tulsa ahead of California.
You just stole my thunder there, David, because my last team in as of the moment today would have been Tulsa. I would have actually had them in the field. I know that I'm putting Frank Haith in the field, and I cringe at having done that, but if you look at them now, they do have three top 50 wins, including Wichita State at home, SMU on the road, and only one really bad loss, the home loss to Oral Roberts, which was a horrendously bad loss. But yeah, when you look at, okay, we're looking at so many warts on these profiles, why not Tulsa?
That's right. Better than losing to Southeast Oklahoma State last year, so there is that.
The major improvement off of last year.
Right, yes. They've upgraded to losing at home to Tulsa. Our congratulations to them. I want to say this. I realize that I am way... We're pretty consistent with most of the teams, even the ones we disagree on. We disagree on maybe by a line or two. I have Yale ahead of St. Mary's. I've watched St. Mary's play, not all their games, but more than a third of them. And the one game that I thought they looked good was their loss at Cal. They've just been pitiful. I don't understand. I don't know what I know. John or Tytel is projecting the committee will really like them. A lot of people like them. You both like them. I just don't get it. I guess I'm more perplexed by that than I am anything else.
I personally with St. Mary's, I at some point I have to read past the no quality road wins, and when I do, I do like the four big home wins that they have. BYU, Gonzaga, especially Stanford, and that's enough for me to say yes. They would have been right there among my first four teams out. I was waiting for, if you had not come in with Oregon State and I had to choose by a team, that Oregon State would not have been in the group of St. Mary's. Probably would have been the team that would have gone that last spot there. So I think they were right there, but there was a bit of a consensus there with Oregon State that gave them the last spot in this field. But David, I just don't agree with you. I think that St. Mary's is good enough to be in that top four out right now, and if they get the win at Gonzaga, I think they move into the field.
If they get that, yes. If they get that win, I will change my opinion of them. But after watching them barely win at Pacific, I don't think they're going to step. They didn't win at BYU. I don't think they're going to win at Gonzaga. If they do, then I'll agree with you.
Here is the balance of the field very quickly. The 13 lines, San Diego State barely over Akron, David. UC Irvine, Stony Brook, Wilmington, UAB, South Dakota State, Belmont, UAB, Montana, Asheville, SFA, New Mexico State, North Florida, Bucknell, Hampton, Texas Southern, and Wagner. You'll notice on the top of the 14 line there was the reason why I put Bill and Mary in the top teams out. They are now two games behind Wilmington in the standings, and Wilmington has a very easy schedule the rest of the way. There is a point here where I've got to say that maybe Wilmington really is the best team in the conference, and that's where I reached tonight when I came up with these auto bid winners.
It's hard to disagree with that. I think William and Mary has better paper. They've certainly looked good at times. They've looked really bad at times. One of the times they looked really bad was in the last 5 minutes of their game tonight, when I think they came up empty on six of their last eight possessions. Even though Hofstra couldn't score either. It was, what a night tonight was.
For an update here, following that loss tonight, William and Mary, who had been in the 30s in the RPI, their RPI has dropped all the way to 53 now.
Holy crap. Okay.
A huge drop. I just don't see
it. It was a whole loss, wasn't it? So that dings them even more.
Yeah, and that's why I just don't see it with Bill and Mary anymore, and I wouldn't even have them as the conference champion. Wilmington has now run off, I think, 11 or 12 straight wins. Yeah. Very impressive the way they've been playing conference.
So now it's Hofstra to challenge UNC Wilmington. Is that right?
Hofstra's two games back as well. I don't know that anybody catches Wilmington at this point.
I don't think they do.
Not in the regular season.
But anyhow, on that note, John, any thoughts or comments about the bracket as a full here that we built?
As a full, I would not have too many serious problems with that. Although, as far as my first four teams go, personally, I would have gone Wisconsin, Cincinnati, Alabama, and then Tulsa.
Yeah.
David, any final thoughts here from you?
It was just kind of bizarre because I built the bracket and I had a lot of teams that we would call under the radar inside the bubble. Some of them still ended up there, but it was just not a good night for teams. And the rules aren't any different. If you're an under the radar team, you can't lose to bad teams. And even if that's all you play, and tonight Little Rock did, William and Mary did, Chattanooga did, and I think that they haven't ruined it completely for themselves, but they've made it a lot harder than what it would have been otherwise. You got to win the big ones, but you can't lose the small ones.
Yeah, and just to go to that same point, I believe last week's bracket we actually had an at-large bid even at the very top of the 13 line. Our last at-large bid is at the 49 spot there. So there's actually automatic qualifiers in there at the 12 line. I think that kind of shows that as these teams like San Diego State, William & Mary, Chattanooga, these teams lose games, you're just kind of pushing up where that bubble cutoff line is as well. Might flip back as we get some upsets in conference tournaments, but unfortunately we're starting to lose the under-the-radar teams out of the inside the bubble. Little Rock sliding. Monmouth is one of the few teams that's staying solid up there. But on that note, John, is there anything else you want to comment on?
I was just going to say, get the pot of coffee ready tonight so we can sit back and watch Hawaii and UC Irvine at 1 a.m. Eastern time.
I'm excited.
And that's exactly what we're going to do. I will go ahead and have this bracketed up. It will be, David, where's it going to be?
Down there, right below us. But down there. You can look at it now. You can't until you've watched the show.
Yeah, now that you've watched the show, you can go down, look at the final bracket, and it'll be posted there. It'll be posted also in the bracket projections tab. At this point, I guess we'll talk to you again next week. Monday night, we'll be back with another Hoops HD report. Thanks a lot, everybody, for joining us.